Here's Pastor Brian as he continues his study on the person and work of the Holy Spirit.
Welcome to Solid Ground once again, and all this week we are looking at the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And in yesterday's broadcast, we were looking at the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and we focused on how this was lived out within the life of the apostles. And we focus on the fact that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something distinct from salvation. It is a point in which the Holy Spirit comes upon the believer and empowers them for the work of ministry. In the Scriptures, you find that the Holy Spirit has three primary relationships with the believer. Before we are saved, we could say that the Holy Spirit was with us. He was convicting us of our sin, trying to lead us to Jesus Christ. And Jesus says this in John chapter 14, verse 15. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you." And that's what Romans 8, verse 9 speaks about, the Spirit of God dwelling in us. So before we are saved, the Holy Spirit is with us, convicting us of our need for Jesus Christ. In John chapter 16, Jesus said the Holy Spirit's going to come into the world, and he's going to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, of sin, because they do not believe in me. So that's the primary role that the Holy Spirit does with the unbelieving world. He's with them to convict them of their need for Christ. Once they receive the Lord, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within them and dwells in them. As Romans 8, verse 9 says, the Spirit of God dwells in us, which shows that we belong to Jesus Christ. Now, there's a third relationship that the Holy Spirit desires to have, and that's to come upon our life to empower us. And that's what Jesus said in Luke 24, verse 49, that when the Spirit would come upon them, they would be endued with power from on high. And also in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But you will receive power, and the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." So the baptism of the Holy Spirit primarily relates to that empowering work for ministry, for service, so we can carry on God's work. And yesterday we looked at how that was lived out in the life of the apostles. In John chapter 20, Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." But in Acts chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 8, then in Acts chapter 2, describing the baptism with the Holy Spirit to empower them to be witnesses for him in Jerusalem and in all over the world. We'll also see the same sort of sequence happening in two other places in the book of Acts. So the Holy Spirit at one point brings conversion to people and then comes upon them to empower them with the gifts, as well as to empower them for ministry. And in Acts chapter 8 is when Philip goes and preaches to the Samaritans. And we'll pick it up in verse 4, which reads, "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed, and the lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city." So we see here, as Philip went and preached to the Samaritans, they responded to the word of God. And verse 6 says, they heeded the things spoken by Philip. So they responded to the message of their need for Jesus Christ. And so it's definitely a description of believers here in Samaria. And in verse 14 of chapter 8, it says, "Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them." So we definitely know that they are Christians because they received the word of God. Acts 8, verse 16 says, "For as yet he had not fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." So here we have an interesting situation that's happening in the book of Acts. Here's people that heeded the word of God, that received Jesus Christ, were baptized in water, but yet now the apostles Peter and John are going to come down to Samaria and pray for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So what do we make of that? Well, again, there's two viewpoints on the subject of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Many in the church, a non-charismatic or non-Pentecostal viewpoint, is that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the same thing as salvation. The typical Pentecostal or charismatic position is that it is something that takes place after salvation. Now, when those that do not believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something distinct from salvation come to Acts chapter 8, what the majority of them teach is that, well, God withheld the Holy Spirit from the Samaritans so that the church would remain unified. because the Samaritans and the Jews, they really did hate one another. There was a racial and religious division that took place between them, and it was pretty deep-seated. So they would look at this passage and say what God did is he withheld the Holy Spirit so that the apostles could come and bring the unity that they could impart the Holy Spirit, thus showing them that God received the Samaritans. I have a couple problems with that viewpoint. First of all, I think it violates Scripture, and that's the main problem that I see, because Romans 8, verse 9, a crucial passage about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, says in verse 9, Romans 8, verse 9, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." See, this Scripture can't be violated. God can't say one thing in Romans and yet let something else be lived out in the book of Acts. So we'd have to say these people don't belong to the Lord, which obviously is not true. They heeded the word of God. They also were baptized. So I have to look for some other explanation. I have to realize that these people have received the Spirit because they've received Jesus Christ. That happens instantly. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "After we heard the message and believed, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit." That has to take place with all people, or Romans 8, verse 9 is not true. So we have to look at other scriptures and say that these people must be believers. They heeded the word. They're baptized. They must have the Holy Spirit. Now, if you read carefully in verse 15, it says, "Who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." And again, here you see that word upon, the Holy Spirit come upon them. I believe that these Samaritans had the Holy Spirit living and residing within them, but they hadn't experienced this baptizing or empowering work of the Holy Spirit. And so the apostles came down and prayed for that. And when they had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. We see that word upon once again. We're going to see the same thing happen in Acts chapter 19 with some of the disciples of John. Paul comes across some disciples of John that were in the city of Ephesus. And he said to them in verse 2 of Acts 19, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who had come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." When they had heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's in reference to water baptism. So Paul preached to them, they received Jesus Christ, and they were baptized in water. So once again, we see that these people are definitely Christians. And at the point you respond to the message of the gospel, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within your life. But then Paul does something interesting in verse 6 of Acts 19. After he had baptized them in water, it says, "And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them." And there's that word upon again. "And they spoke with tongues and prophesied." So what we see here taking place is that here you have believers that are baptized in water that have received the gospel. Then Paul lays hands on them. The Spirit of God comes upon them. And then we see some gifts manifested. Once again, that empowering work of the Holy Spirit that's distinct from salvation. The focus here is that the Spirit of God comes upon these believers. We saw that also in Acts chapter 8 as well as in Acts chapter 2 with the apostles. So I believe it's consistent that you see within Scripture in the book of Acts, people that receive the Lord, that have the Holy Spirit residing within them, a subsequent work, a work that takes place after that, is the Spirit of God to come upon their life. Now, obviously, there's difference of opinions within the church on the subject. And I have analyzed what others have said in trying to say that, well, no, this really isn't the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the sense that it's distinct from salvation. And what they'll say is, well, the apostles, they're an exception because they lived in that time between the resurrection of Jesus Christ as well as the ascension. Then they'll come to Acts chapter 8 with the Samaritans. Well, they're an exception because they were those that the Jews hated, and so God wanted to keep unity, so withheld giving the Holy Spirit to them. Then in Acts chapter 19, they say, well, they're an exception as well because they were the followers of John. Well, if you have three exceptions, it seems like the exception is then becoming the norm. And I see within the book of Acts, it's the norm that people that have the Spirit of God residing in them, at some point prayer is offered for them and the Spirit of God comes upon them and empowers them for the work that God's called them to do. So I don't think it's an exception. It seems to be the norm. What other groups have said to try and get around this viewpoint that there is something taking place after the saving work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God coming upon individuals, he said, well, you can't use the book of Acts for doctrine. Well, again, that's contrary to what Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. The book of Acts is profitable for doctrine. Now, I agree, you have to be careful because it is written of recording events that took place. It's not exactly like Romans. That is more of a doctrinal letter, but yet it is profitable for doctrine. So we can receive doctrine from the book of Acts. Everybody does. And on this subject as well as the working of the Holy Spirit, we should see what did the early church do and be able to follow their example and the doctrine that they set for us. I also heard one other teacher say, in the book of Acts, there's no doubt that as you read these passages, the Holy Spirit is given at salvation, and then after that, the Holy Spirit comes upon them in some sort of distinct work that's separate from salvation. And the teacher agreed with that, but then he went on to say, but that's not the norm for today. And that was his way to get around this subject. At least he was dealing with the passages directly and honestly saying, yes, there is some sort of work of the Holy Spirit that took place after salvation, but he didn't want to phrase that as the baptism with the Holy Spirit. But I see clearly in the life of the apostles, in the life of the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8, then in the life of the disciples of John the Baptist in Acts chapter 19, there's a place where people receive the Word of God, they're believers, they're Christians, the Spirit of God takes up residence within them, and then the Spirit of God comes upon them. I think it's almost related to what you see in the Old Testament, where the Spirit of God would come upon kings and judges and prophets to empower them for their ministry. And so the bottom line is that we as believers need the power of God in our life. We simply need to ask for that. According to Luke chapter 11, God will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And I pray that you would be one that's asking for the power of God so you can carry out the ministry that He has for you. And I believe as you ask by faith, God will bless you and empower you so you can carry out His perfect will. So may we have hungering hearts today for the power of God to carry out His purposes and plans within our lives.